Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It is now 7:08 here at WCCO. Welcome. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I am your host, Geraldine Steele. It is Easter today, the holiest day of the year for Christians. Whether you were involved in Seder this weekend and had a chance to celebrate in your way, maybe there was a chance for you to cross the lines and go and visit others at other faiths and figure out how it works, right? It's difficult what's happening in our country right now, but we still have our faith. Easter means a lot to me, a lot to me. So I'm going to tell you, when I hear this song, if you're discouraged, this is a song that would lift me up every time, right? You look down.
Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people.
You look so much better when you smile. So smile.
Now every day ain't going to be perfect. But it still don't mean today don't have purpose.
That's right.
Come on.
Today's a new day.
Woo.
But there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, but
today's a new day.
Yeah.
But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised?
Look, let me tell you something. If you feel like you want to hurt yourself, or you feel like you're so mad you want to hurt your neighbor, listen to some gospel music. If it ain't nothing else, it is uplifting. It is absolutely uplifting. Even if you don't believe, that's on you. But play it. See what it does to you. I know Shaletta over here going, glory. Hey. Even when I smile. I'm telling you, so stay strong, y'all. Stay strong, for real, because this is the time. This is the time in our nation where we need to stay strong, right? And so Easter was today. I had a chance to go to a big Easter program last night, Saturday night, and boy, did I have a great time at Progressive Baptist Church. My sister is the director of music ministries, and she had all these other choirs from other churches come in, and boy, you're talking about fun from young people to old folks. It was just amazing. It was really, really fun. And it was more than just fun. It was special. And you felt something. You know, it was just, all of a sudden you walked out of there with your head held a little bit higher, feeling a little bit more open, a little bit happier. And you just felt like, I can make it. I can make it this week. It's no problem. I got it. I got this, right? So that's why I'm talking about Easter. At the very beginning of tonight's show, Easter is what's happening, y'all. I hope you had a great day today, whether you went to church or not. I didn't go to church today, but I had a chance to spend Easter brunch with my family. And to me, that is like Easter. It's like church. It's like all of that. You know, we have ministers in my family, choir directors in my family. I don't know what I am to my family. They just go, Geraldine, did you go to church? You know what I'm talking about, Shaletta. How often in black families do they say to us, did you go to church?
Did you go every Sunday?
Every Sunday, no matter where you live. No matter where you live, somebody
that's
in your family.
That's going to be your first question to Michael, I'm sure.
How you doing, honey? Did you go to church today?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask Michael today.
Really?
I am not going to ask Michael today because I know the answer. And then he's going to turn around because he's just going to say, did you go?
Oh, that's why you're not going to ask.
That's, see, I just know what he's going to say.
Okay.
Exactly. Do you feel guilty if you miss Easter Sunday?
Oh, yeah. We didn't get a chance to go today because my youngest son, Daniel, is sickly. And the kids woke up expecting to go. And they were really disappointed. And it made me feel really bad that I wasn't able to take them. So we did some online church.
So did you? Oh, you did?
Technology is amazing.
I know, but
you can see the entire
service.
Service.
That's right.
I mean,
you can even give your money.
You can even, yes,
just point your finger at the TV. Just point your finger at the TV.
You can click. You can click on your mouse. So we did it online on the computer, and we sat around and watched, and they had the music and the singing and the giving, and you can, and they tell you during the sermon, if you're watching online, don't worry, you can still give your money. Click here.
Now, let me tell you something. Growing up, that's the voice of Shaletta Brundage, by the way. And thank you for filling in last week.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. I was with my grandbabies, had a blast. But I remember growing up where we, you know, you had a brand new dress for Easter, right? It was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Or you had your sister, the older sister's hand-me-down. Regardless, you had on some beautiful patent leather shoes that you better not scuff up, right?
Yes,
My brothers had on little suits, these little suits, right? And I remember all six of us packed in the back of an old Cadillac, and we were on our way to church.
Shining. Yeah.
Vaseline down. Hair is whipped. I mean, hair is perfect, not a strand out of place.
It better not be.
And mother looked amazing.
I don't know how she did it.
And daddy looked amazing with his blue suede shoes on. I'm just saying, you know why they dressed like that? Why my mother wore the big hat? Because she said, we are going to meet the king today.
Oh.
King Jesus. We are going to meet the king today.
Put it in perspective.
Okay, I'm just saying. Now, although I don't go to church on Sundays, I have to tell you, I'm really grateful for that, for growing up that way. So gospel, really big in my life. It's the foundation of who I am. And a lot of people say to me when they hear that I'm doing a concert or something, they say, you going to do gospel? I always put a gospel song on. I better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't feel like it's right if I don't. So absolutely, that has to be done. I just want to talk a little bit, too, about, oh, my goodness, there's so much going on. And I cannot tell you how troubling it is. When the Notre Dame was on fire, it was very frustrating for me watching it all unfold. I remember the one and only time I went to Paris and had a chance to see it. It was hard to watch the spire fall. It was really hard to watch that fall. And because you know that it's not just a tourist point. It's just a way of saying, when we see it, it's kind of like, oh, they believe in something. This represents their faith. 80%, supposedly, 80% of France, they believe in, they're Catholics. They believe in church. They believe in, I mean, they are seriously churched. But that's changing. So I want to let you know that later on today, we're going to talk about how many people, percentage-wise, really did show up at church today, and it wasn't what we expected. Is it still just a terrible exit from the church, or are we starting to see people come back? I also want to talk about Prince. Here's the thing. You know, you've been hearing about it right here on WCCO. He died way too soon on this day 3 years ago. Now, how will he be remembered this week? My family and I had a chance to really work with him on three of his CDs. We did some touring with him and just had a chance to do videos with him. And he was very special to us. And as you know, he was family. We felt like he was family. Although there were years after we kind of stepped outside of the Prince family when I would talk to him. But no matter where we were, if he saw us, he would stop and say, hey, Geraldine, how you doing? Hey, now, how's mom doing? You know? It always felt like family. He always made it feel like family. Now, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Prince. We're going to find out in the 9 p.m. hour with guest Tommy Barbarella, who was part of the MPG family when they were first named. And that's at 9:35. Joining him will be Julius Collins, who has a big show coming up this week. I mean, there are going to be so many Prince shows. Are you going to anything, Shaletta?
No, what? I'm not able to. I'm working nights this week.
Oh, it's
I
a
know,
lot going
it's
on.
It's a lot going on, and it's I'm working nights. I think that was on purpose. I think somebody that worked nights wanted to go, so they moved me around. And I didn't think about it ahead of time.
And look at you.
Right.
You don't even complain.
I was like, oh, yes, I'll be happy to do that. And now I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hold on.
I won't complain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, at 9:05, Morris Hayes is going to join us. He was actually the music director for Prince. I got to find out what that was like. I mean, what was his biggest challenge?
Oh, my God. And he's such a perfectionist. I mean, you worked with him.
I didn't work with Morris, but Prince,
but
yeah.
Prince, yeah, the perfectionist.
Such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
You know, if your hair was out of place, be like, you don't like your hair today, huh?
Oh.
I'm just saying. But he had a sweetness about it.
Uh-huh.
It was never an insult like that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just saying, Also, we have to talk about the Mueller report. I have not been on the radio since the Mueller report dropped. So when they talked about it here this week, were you here? Were you on?
Yeah, I was here. I was here.
Were they talking about it?
Everyone was talking about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were they talking about Tiger Woods?
Oh, my God. We love Tiger. Tiger just dominated the news. He made us forget all about everything.
Right.
We forgot what
I just want you to know
we
I was sure enough celebrating while in Boston.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. It
the
was
world
just an
was
incredible. It was an incredible golf
the
tournament.
Other golfers were cheering him on. They were saying, oh, my God, we've never seen anything like this. The other golfers, when they were supposed to be playing, were stopping to cheer him on.
Well, I think what was shocking was that so many people thought, some of the commentators kept saying, we think he's over with. You know, he's got, you know, steel in his back and he can't do certain things. And he's 43 years old. And, you know, it just looks like we're looking at a sad thing happen. And then this happens, mm-hmm. You know, so you never know what a person will
can't
come
count
through.
Them out.
You can't count people out. Right. By the way, speaking of not counting people out, don't you ever count out the Twins, because the Twins won today.
Yay,
against
Twins.
Baltimore Orioles. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 4-3. We won. We pulled it out. That's a big deal. So get your tickets. Get going. Get out there. And I really support the Twins. We're so excited that they are back at it. You know, someone asked me, a young person said, so what is it with baseball? You know, why is it so good? I said, first of all, honey, you can eat your way through every inning, but don't.
Yes, you can. Yes, you
but
can.
But don't do it, you know, if you don't have to. But I do know that it's one of those not lazy, hazy kind of games. It's just a game that you have to really pay attention to and keep up, because it can change in a moment's time. Do they still chew tobacco, by the way, the men?
No, they don't allow it.
Not at all?
Not at all. You
no
can't
spitting?
Have it in the dugout. Well, you can spit, but they can, you know, it has to
not
be
in
real
the dugout.
Spit.
But what yeah. if you're out on the...
No, it's not in the ball field. They don't let the players do it anymore.
You sure about
I'm
that?
I'm absolutely positive.
If somebody knows or disagrees with Shaletta, let me know.
No, that's,
I swear
that's
to goodness,
the MLB rule.
I was, really?
Yeah, they have sunflower seeds and some other things that they chew,
that's
but they can't
nasty.
Chew.
That's just nasty. You know, that's TMI. That's just
come on now.
Sunflower seeds? So they spitting out holes?
Yes, all
people
over
sliding
place.
In on sliding sunflower in on, seeds.
That's how they win. If you more sunflower seeds, you might
okay.
be able to choo,
okay.
slide
okay. So you know I'm watching more sports, right?
Oh no, I did not know that. Right, I know that your brother had you more into golf lately.
Oh, seriously into golf. Yeah. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back in just a moment. It is now 7:23 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Steel Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night, is sit here and gab with you. And we've got some time to do that tonight. It's really interesting that when I look at sports these days, because I'm really trying to learn the games, I really am. I mean, I used to know football inside and out. I used to know some stats. You know, I married a man who was into football. I actually played a little football in college, a little tiny, teeny bit. I don't even know if that part is true. I need to look that up.
Now, see, it's Easter Sunday. No,
I'm
ma'am.
Just saying.
No,
I'm
ma'am.
Just saying.
I'm not going to let you do it on Easter Sunday. No, ma'am.
You're judging me.
No, ma'am. I'm not judging you. I'm just
judging
stopping
me.
You.
Okay.
I'm stopping you.
Let me tell you something. Shaquille O'Neal, my son had a chance to meet him one day, right?
Really?
He did. In fact, here, he was coming over here to the station, and Shaquille was staying next door at the Grand Hotel, and he was outside signing autographs, and Michael stood next to him. He said for the first time in his life, he had to look way up, you know, throw your neck back just to see his
just
face.
Just to see him.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
And Michael is 6'3", so that's
yeah, I was
nothing.
Gonna say, Michael is
nothing,
huge.
No, but that's nothing compared to Shaquille O'Neal. And now Shaq has joined up with JCPenney. Have you heard about this?
No.
To launch this whole big and tall model search. I mean, he is looking for titans. Titans. That's what he actually says in the spot. It says in this article, if you're a big and tall man that likes fashion, this may be the perfect opportunity for you. NBA Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal has partnered up with JCPenney to launch his Shaquille O'Neal Extra Large, XLG, collection. And now they're looking for models to show off the brand. Hey. Now, the popular modeling agency Wilhelmina has helped create the Shaquille O'Neal's big and tall model search presented by JCPenney. So it's a model search.
That is awesome for big guys.
I just think it's awesome for big guys. In a video posted on JCPenney's Facebook page, Shaq says big guys can be models too. I agree with that. You know, because big women can sure do it, honey. They're getting it done. So here's the thing. He says titans in the spot, right? I'm looking for titans. And I kept thinking, well, why would he say titans? What do you think a titan is?
I've got a dad who's like 6'5",
mm-hmm.
almost 300
so
pounds.
So you think it's the height?
So I think it's the height, and it also has to be a big guy. Because Shaq is not just tall, he's big.
He's big huge. In the sense of, I mean, he's fit.
He's big. Like, and his personality's big.
Yeah.
His body is big. Because it's one thing to be tall. You know, you've got a lot of tall, skinny guys.
Yeah.
But when I think of a Titan, I think of a huge man, like a
huge
big
man.
Guy.
You know, Titan, I looked it up on several websites, and it says that Titan today is someone who is godlike or powerful and influential in a certain field, which is what he is. So is he looking for people like himself? You know, not just his height, but being accomplished. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's Dr. Shaquille O'Neal.
Right. But he's selling these big man clothes, so they're going to have to be big. So
well,
he can't
be
an accomplished man who looks like Skip Gates or...
You're wrong for that.
No, I'm just saying. He's selling big
clothes
for big
men. Are you saying Skip Gates can only nip at the heels of Shaquille?
And what I'm saying is
you
that...
You said he can only nip at the heels of Shaquille.
Big dude clothes
and
JCPenney.
Did you say big dude?
Then, you know, some people can't, even though they may be titans in their industry.
I'm just saying.
Will not qualify.
If people are interested in this, if you have a big guy in your family, Denise Warren, if you're listening to this, get your boys in. If you've got, you know, a 7-footer or someone who's a big guy and loves fashion and knows how to walk it down the aisle and look good and model his fashions, how about that?
And what kind of confidence will they give that guy? You know, and big men who look like him.
I'm not concerned about the confidence. I want to know, what are they being paid? Hello?
Well, you know, if it's a contest, they've got to be some kind of prize.
Got to be a prize.
Say, like,
don't tell me I get some new underwear. That's not good enough.
That's
so
not,
it says
some
here,
socks.
Winners,
some socks.
Winners of the contest will be signed to Wilhelmina's Titan Division for big and tall male models and will be featured with Shaq in JCPenney's fall campaign wearing his collection and JCPenney's Foundry Big and Tall Supply Company brand. The contest ends on April 28th. April 28th. We are approaching. You got 1 week, basically, honey. You got what? 7 days tomorrow. 8 p.m. is when it ends. So if you want to sign up, just go to JCPenney.
So do they submit a picture or they got a...
I'm sure they have all the information. That's where, I mean, you can actually go to this article that I found, which is at a website I'm not familiar with, but I kind of looked at several websites. So I just say go to JCPenney, put in Shaquille O'Neal, or either go to Google and put in big and tall model search and just see if this is something you can do. You know, just because we live in Minnesota, people go, oh, you know, I'm not going to have a chance in Minnesota. Let me tell you something. We have some of everybody here, some superstars. We have people that are in opera that are doing amazing work. So never think that you can't do it. Never, ever think you can't do it. I just want to meet whoever Shaquille O'Neal is married to. Is he married again?
No. He and his wife, Shawnee,
got divorced. But what about the little one that was with what's his name with the clock around his neck?
Flavor Flav. Oh, you're talking about
Hoops. Who's her name? Hoops.
The girl.
That's
who was
her
dating.
Name.
No,
yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
not dating her anymore.
I thought they really
he's
loved
been through
each
like
other.
Four girls since then. I'm gonna need you to keep up. He's had like four or five girlfriends.
Well, you know what? Some people get really upset with people who divorce and get married again.
Oh.
I'm not one of those. I used to be very judgmental.
Really?
During my Christian zealot days.
No,
absolutely.
I can't. You don't.
Oh no,
judge.
No, no.
You don't judge.
Oh no, I did.
Really?
You know, absolutely. I was that girl. I was a Christian zealot. And let me tell you something. I grew and decided, it says very clearly in the Bible, which is what I read, my faith book, you know, that God does the judging. It ain't for me to do it. Back off.
Okay.
So I stopped that. I guess I got to take a break, huh?
Yeah, you do. You
oh,
got
my
some
goodness.
Weather.
Okay, we'll be back with our first guest in just a moment. Why is it necessary to have an Earth Day? And I have to find out from my guest, Jessica Hellman, who is the director of the University of Minnesota's Institute on the Environment and the Ecolab Chair in Environmental Leadership. Welcome to CCO, Jessica.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well,
on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday.
On a gorgeous Sunday. Oh, my gosh, I've so enjoyed it. And when we're talking about Earth Day, this is the perfect day to do it. Because when I learned about Earth Day years ago, I kept saying to myself, why do we have to have an Earth Day? Is this to help us understand how bad things are? But not necessarily. It's really about celebrating the Earth as well.
That's right. It was intended to be a reminder that we depend on the Earth. And that we should have a day that really causes us to recognize that. Of course, the saying, you know, Earth Day every day is something we also really must remember. I personally like to use my Earth Day, or in this case, the weekend before the Earth Day, partly because the weather was so beautiful, actually spending time outside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we rely on the Earth for so many things, but it also can bring us joy and well-being and fitness and all those other kinds of great things by being close to the earth.
Yeah, I completely agree. 49 years is a long time, and the earth was completely different 49 years ago. Of course, you know, 1950s was the advent of middle class, building homes, cars, so much more waste started happening in the 60s and 70s. And so as the earth has changed over the 49 years, I keep wondering to myself, is this something we really should be celebrating?
Well, you know, it's interesting to look back and think about what are some of the original issues that inspired the first Earth Day and our sense that we needed to build a kind of collective understanding and stewardship and to appreciate the relationship of people to the Earth. And if you think about now some of the issues that we talk about, climate change, I mean, they really were related to the same issues back then about pollution. We were thinking a lot about nuclear war and nuclear weapons and, but they're kind of along the same evolution, the same course about how much we consume of the earth, about how we're wrong when we think that we can just take and throw away, that
right.
The earth is a system and that, you know, there is no such thing as waste. It stays with us forever, whether that waste is nuclear waste or that waste is greenhouse gases. It influences a system and therefore comes back around and affects us.
Mm-hmm. Well said. In fact, if we just realize and remind ourselves that we're drinking the same water the dinosaurs drank. So,
that's
you know,
right.
Just wake up and understand that it really doesn't go anywhere. It's still here, you know, in some form. So let's then talk about the EPA. The EPA was born decades ago, and I can't quote what year it was. But I know the EPA was one of the things that kind of brought Earth Day, supported Earth Day and what it was all about. And here we are today with not having that kind of support for the earth, for the pollution that is happening. There are shows that you can watch on all these stations that talk about how the coral reef is one third less already and we're going to lose a lot more quickly. So we know that the earth is in trouble, yet we still are constantly buying plastic, you know, products that are in plastic and so much more. We've been trained. So how do mm-hmm. you untrain us and then retrain us to do better?
Well, there are a couple of things. I think there are some positives. I mean, if you look at some of the issues, environmental issues, especially that were about pollution at that time, they really have improved. We've made improvements in water quality. The Great Lakes are cleaner in many ways than they were at that time. So it is possible to make progress. In that case, a lot of that progress came out of things like the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. So we had legislation, and those were responsibilities of the EPA to protect American waters and air. We've kind of evolved our thinking in some ways at the national level about environmental legislation, but it's not just environmental laws that are going to save us. Part of it is the way that we go about doing our accounting and how we think about the things that have value, and we ignore some things that have real tangible value, but we don't give them economic value. And so we need our laws to protect our resources, but we also need to change the way that we think about what has value and how we give it value, like water, like clean air. And that's going to involve some economic change. So we don't, for example, we don't really care that much right now, or other than guilt or a sense of obligation or worry about climate change, we don't really have a way of accounting for the cost of emitting greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. But there are lots of potential ways to do that, to take that into our national accounting and create the incentives in our economy that would reduce those greenhouse gas emissions and encourage other technologies that are cleaner.
I love what you said. It makes a lot of sense to me, but it doesn't make sense to everyone. And so how do you begin a conversation tomorrow on the 49th anniversary if you want to engage someone in the conversation about Earth Day and why it's important?
I think that in the end, and in the beginning, if we want to talk with people across political lines and across people who see the world differently from different perspectives, how are we going to do that? We do it by talking about the things that we share and the values that we have in common and the things that are important to us. And those are things like family, relationships and friends, neighborhoods and communities, the ability to pass down to our children a future that we are proud of, that has economic opportunity for them, and the opportunity to go swimming in Minnesota's Great Lakes and, you know, drink our clean drinking water and have feeling safe and secure about that. And I think those shared values is where we have to start. We tend to go arguing about the policies and the solutions, which, you know, are you for a carbon tax? You know, are you against it? What do you think about new technologies coming on the market? But we have to start with the things that we really care about. And that's what the original Earth Day concept was. It was a celebration and a recognition of the realities. A lot of it started with a teach-in, saying, what are the issues that confront us and what do we care about and what are we going to do about it and are we going to take some steps and some action? And that will always be the case. There will always be issues that are confronting us that are going to need solutions, and not just in the environmental space, but every space. And it's about us having the will to do something about it and hopefully these days finding some ways to cross over political boundaries.
Joining us is Jessica Hellman, director of the University of Minnesota's Institute on Environment. We're talking about the 49th anniversary of Earth Day. Now, here's the thing. You and I both know that capitalism does not live very well within the model that you just gave us to talk about family and so much more, right?
There are a lot of things that are important to humans that are not captured in traditional capitalism, yes.
Right. And with that said, because we are being fed capitalism every day, I'm not one that's against capitalism. I'm just saying I don't think it should be the most important thing, right?
That's right. But also, here's an important idea, too. In some ways, we're not doing capitalism enough, or we're not doing it completely. When we allow, and, you know, when we decided we needed these environmental laws, for example, it's because we were allowing the market to put these pollutants and contaminants out into the environment, and that affected all of us. And they didn't have to pay the cost of that. That was actually a failure of capitalism. And there are some capitalistic ways of incorporating those costs into the marketplace. So I do think that I agree in some ways with people who say it is our desire to consume, consume, consume that has gotten us into so many of these troubles. Mm-hmm. But smart capitalism and using market tools and incentives can also be a very effective way of addressing some of those problems.
How long have you been involved in this issue?
Since I was a little kid.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, I know this. Geraldine, are you a native Hoosier?
Yes, I am.
Well, I am, too. That's where I started a long time ago. Spending time outside and coming from a more agricultural
yes,
landscape.
Yes, I was going to say, I had an uncle that was in agriculture, absolutely.
So that, and I've always had this kind of mixture of appreciation for wilderness and the beauty of the planet that needs to be preserved for its own sake, but also a recognition that humans use and rely on natural resources and wanting to be smart about that. And I studied science. I'm an environmental scientist, and I think that we need science to help guide us to better stewardship of the earth. But I've really come to think over the last 10 years that it's about our shared values and coming together about the stuff that's important, that's going to be the path forward. And science is crucial in that, but science itself is not the answer.
There are a lot of people aren't listening to science.
There are a lot of people aren't listening to science because everybody acts as if they know all the answers, and we live in a time period where people are not really on all political sides keeping an open mind in some cases. Mm-hmm. But science is not a belief system. Science is a data-driven pursuit. And
I love the way you put that. I love the way that, I remember growing up, they used to say science is factual, and it's not. It's ever-changing.
It's not factual. No. In fact, any good scientist should be willing to change her mind when new information comes in.
Exactly. They owe it to the planet, right?
Yeah, and we're always learning things. In fact, I like to tell my students, for example, if we take climate change, for example, is there a lot of scientific disagreement? There actually is quite a lot of scientific disagreement. It's just not whether or not carbon dioxide and methane and other greenhouse gases warm the planet. That we know really well because the science is not that hard.
Mm-hmm. And we have evidence, visual evidence for sure.
All kinds of evidence, mm-hmm. evidence from mm-hmm. ice cores and tree rings and, you know, all thermometers. We have lots and lots of evidence. But then that just means that the cutting edge of science is further along. It's saying, what are the solutions to that problem? What are the specific impacts on coral reefs or forests? And we are constantly learning and getting better about understanding what we can do about it and also understanding how desperately we do need to do something about it because the impacts. I mean, every time we go out and collect some scientific data about what climate change means to ecosystems, we get some pretty scary answers back.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about nuclear power?
Oh, man, that's a fascinating one. In this country, nuclear power probably does not have a future because it's just so darn expensive, and we have lots of better other technologies. But there's a lot of debate about the nuclear plants that we have already, and they're providing us carbon-free energy. Mm-hmm. So personally, I'm keen to keep our energy source carbon-free. I'm also keen to get rid of that nuclear, but at the moment, it seems to me, what I see from the scientific evidence that's coming out about the effects of climate change, it seems a higher priority to get those coal plants mm-hmm. and other fossil fuel energy shut off first.
Isn't that the truth? Now, we are very clear on who are committing the most egregious transgressions here when it comes to the earth. But yet there's a lot going on around the world in places that we don't necessarily talk about or see all the time. Can you tell us a little bit about how we are affecting each other, whether we are the large countries or the small ones?
Well, so the disproportionate effect of, say, emitting greenhouse gases comes from wealthy countries. And it's not something that we have to necessarily feel, well, we should feel guilty about that now, but a lot of those greenhouse gas emissions came at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
We didn't fully understand what we were doing. So, but now we do understand, and we also have a very healthy economy and a lot of resources that we can invest in new technology. Mm-hmm. And the exciting thing in some developing countries where we need to meet poverty goals and other goals, we need economic development in lower income countries, but we don't need to do it exactly the way that we did it in the West. Mm-hmm. We need to find ways to leapfrog those societies, especially around renewable power and sustainable agriculture. And I think there's a lot of evidence that it's possible, but we have to be willing to make investments in those technologies, and we have to be willing to lead the way. Personally, I think that's really important. I think for us to achieve, there are these things called sustainable development goals, mm-hmm. which have to do with environmental protection and poverty reduction around the world. And for us to lead by example,
right.
I think is really important and powerful. I mean, there are some astonishing statistics. I think the carbon footprint of each American is something like 30 times the carbon footprint of a Nigerian, or several times the carbon
footprint. Of a Nigerian, such a wealthy
yes.
country. I mean, really, it's a huge country.
Yes, but if you think, I mean, the American, and you're, for that matter, European, though Americans consume more fossil energy than most Europeans do. It's just an astonishing amount of energy that we each individually consume.
Right.
And we see China rising, and there's a lot of reason to be anxious about China and
right.
China's energy development. But still,
the
average Chinese citizen does not consume as much energy as the average American does.
Mm-hmm. So we are at the top of the heap, are we?
We are, and if we look around the world and we want to, again, lead by example, we need to be aggressively pursuing. And the scientific, our understanding of climate change tells us that if we want to stay below catastrophic levels of climate change, we need to transition our economy, I like to say, within the next 2 decades. So this is not a 100-year project. This needs to be a 20-year project.
Yet we've been told we have less than 20 years.
Yeah, but, you know, think of other things that happen in 20 years. I mean, we do have the technologies. We don't necessarily have the political will to do the transition. And it is, in some cases, can be costly to convert. Though things, you know, now if you want to put in a new power plant, the cheapest type of power plant to build is one that runs on wind. That's the cheapest new source
right.
of power that
right.
you could produce right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, think of other, I don't know, how quickly... I probably shouldn't comment on this because I don't know the data, but how quickly did we convert from everyone had a landline to
right.
most Americans had a cell phone in their pocket?
I just explained that to my 6-year-old granddaughter. I showed her the pictures of what I grew up talking on, right? The AT&T Bell phone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're absolutely right. We did it, and I know we can do it again, but we have to be really encouraged and trained to do it where we don't have the other options available.
We need the options, and we need industry to provide. So we often talk, I think, on Earth Day about what is our individual responsibility. And, you know, you can't wake up every morning and say, I'm going to have, you know, zero carbon footprint, because we live in a society that runs on that kind of that type of system. There are things that we can do individually. I personally think that I think it's exciting and fulfilling to try to live in an environmentally responsible way, but I'm not really asking people to go sit in a cave. I think that's unrealistic. And instead, we need to, again, lead by example when we can, especially for people who have financial means to do so, and help bring about a society where more people can participate in a sustainable lifestyle. So it's a mixture of how we feel this responsibility individually and the empowerment that we can take, that we can receive from taking action and striving toward that systematic change. So, I mean, you can have all the best intentions for an electric car, but if there isn't one for you to buy, you can't have it.
You got that right. Or a place where you can charge it. There you go.
That's right. So we need those systemic things. But when we ask for them as individual consumers, that's when the market starts responding.
Yeah. Last question, final question. What keeps you up at night?
I do think that worry about not moving fast enough keeps me up at night. I will tell you, I have a 12-year-old daughter. She's actually just picked a social studies project for the rest of the semester. She's going to work on this youth climate strike, which is a whole other fascinating thing that's been going on. Young people getting really actively involved in this climate change issue. And that actually worries me. I worry about the kind of psychological burden and the economic concerns that young people face because we're not addressing these fundamental issues as quickly as we should and we can.
It's so true. I was just reading the Sun newspaper out of Golden Valley, Minnesota, and it was remarkable what some of the young people read a book of fiction that based on fact. And when they read that it had such truth to it, they decided we're going to get together and help build a well. And it was really remarkable how they moved so quickly. Children, teenagers, they know how to move quickly. We don't. And so we have to work on that, don't we?
But they also do a good job of holding their parents responsible. So when your kids sometimes ask you to do something and you know it's the right thing to do, maybe that's where we can find a little bit of momentum.
There you go. Jessica Hellman, Director of the University of Minnesota's Institute on the Environment and the Eco Lab Chair in Environmental Leadership. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Easter 2019, and guess how many of us went to church? We're going to find out from my guest, Sam Eaton, a local music teacher who runs his own ministry called Recklessly Alive. You do not want to miss that. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. Anytime you want to join us, all you got to do is pick up the phone at 651-989-9226. We'll be back in a moment.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.